Good evening, good evening. You've tuned into Paradigm Shifters, and I love introducing people to you that are making a difference on the planet. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive, and a lot of you know that. And tonight's guest is a brilliant intuitive that you may have heard of. She's quite well known for books like The Intuitive Way and Frequency, and then along the way, more about what, Dreams for Dummies? Meet Penny Pierce, and we'll pick her brains all about dreams today and whatever else we can think of.
Well, thank you.
Welcome to the show, Penny.
It's really fun to be here again. I enjoyed our last interview also.
Oh, good. Well, I did too. And I was thinking about you. We were talking about gardens before we connected, and I was puttering around in the garden thinking about you, realizing that in this time of the shift, there are so many systems breaking down, and you're such an expert on frequency, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do people, or maybe you've got some advice for everyone, how do people contact that inner wisdom and inner knowing and keep their frequencies okay when we're being battered about by some amazing energies these days?
Yeah, I mean, not just battered about by the stuff happening in the news and in everybody else's emotional life, but from deep down inside our bodies. You know, I think the energy on the planet is vibrating so fast now, or it just feels like it's accelerating in unrelenting waves, you know, and that the very particles inside of us are either vibrating faster or they're blinking in and out faster or something, you know. But this year has been incredibly intense, and I think that part of what I've noticed is that it's important to try to get your left brain out of the way. That's mm-hmm. one big thing, because the left brain thinks about things in terms of the past and fear. You know, it's the old ego consciousness, and it wants to control things and define things and have a formula for everything. And of course, it always thinks about the yes buts and why it won't work. And so it's a very contracted sort of way of thinking, and it slows down the flow of this energy. So I've noticed myself this year that I've been very resistant to doing too much analytical, linear think work or planning too far in advance.
Oh, good.
Do you know what I mean? Just to stay really present. And that's why we were laughing about being in the garden. But the ability to just be in your body and be you know, to engage you in the moment and to have some kind of activity where you can do that and let your brain be quiet.
And also, I like the way you put, you had energies popping out in little sparks, or however you put it. It was very colorful.
Popcorn kind of thing. You know, yeah.
Some of it is the release of, talking about the left brain activity, some of it is the release of old thoughts and feelings and reactions if we hold it that way, isn't it?
That's totally right, yes. I think that, you know, anything that slows down the flow of this energy or the process, really it's about evolution. You know, we are evolving very quickly right now.
And we want that.
When the vibration goes up, we get more knowledge. We get more of a different kind of knowledge about how does spirit work. And that old way of thinking is just too linear. It's that cause and effect kind of thinking. It's too slow.
And it's all relative to one another as opposed to coming from that deep sort of integrating part of self. Right.
It's relating to each other as separate objects rather than as kind of mirages that appear out of the unified field. So we're all here and then we're not here and then we're here and things are just oscillating constantly.
They're really moving fast, too. And what about all the systems breaking down? Do you see that the way we're talking about individual integrity is kind of the rising of new systems? You see what I'm saying?
Is mm-hmm. I think there's a simultaneous thing happening right now where the old systems based on linear thinking and ego and left brain dominance that would be, you know, all based on willpower and control and power over others. Those things are like log jams in a stream. They're not allowing the energy to flow through very well. And so there's a buildup of energy behind these dams. And they are starting to now pop and break through, like the earthquake and tsunami in Japan, and you know, the arising of rebellions and the downfall of dictators. These are things where too much control was there, and often these things, even like the Gulf oil spill, are pointing toward a kind of controlled, limited way of thinking, where, you know, corporations are trying to get all the profits very quickly without taking care of the environment or the people or having any sense of connectedness to anything else. And that kind of thinking just can't happen on the planet much longer.
Right. Do you think people are rising up enough or in a fast enough rate to turn a lot of that around?
I think that it happens at the rate that it happens at, and that we shouldn't really compare it to anything else, that people are becoming conscious in the way that we are. You know, it's like we have to trust the process. And what I guess I'm trying to say is that again, it's a simultaneous process. There's a breakdown of the old structures and a failure of a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
There are breakthroughs anywhere where things are being held too tightly and trying to be controlled too tightly. Those things can't exist much longer. They're going to have to break through. But then at the same time, there are people, especially those of us who've been on a spiritual path for a long time or any sort of self-growth, who are, you know, really opening up and letting go of old things and getting it. You know, I just talked to so many people who say, I feel like I'm in a doorway. I don't want to go back into the old reality. I'm not sure what's coming. I know I want to go there, but I'm afraid, and yet I'm stuck. And everybody feels stuck right now.
And fear is the thing we're not supposed to have, but many people are afraid because what we knew as security doesn't really exist right
now.
That's
right. Yeah, and they haven't had a felt sense or a demonstration of the actual magnificence of the new reality and how easy and wonderful and supportive it's going to be. But that's because the left brain and the ego is kind of in its death throes, you know, in its last gasp, you know, retaliation. Like, I'm not going to die. I'm going to, you know, put up a big fight here and be clever and, you know, trick you.
And grow vegetables.
So anyway, I think that the people who are waking up are actually starting to find each other now. It's like we're picking our frequency. We're getting into our, I call it your home frequency.
Right. Okay.
Which is the vibration of the soul as it comes through your personality. And you feel great when you're in that level of vibration. It's really authentic. It feels fun. You feel like a little kid. You just love life, you know, and it's heart opening.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in that, then you have ideas that come out of that vibration, you have people that show up out of that vibration, opportunities, jobs, everything comes out of that vibration, and then everything starts really working.
And how do you recommend that people get into that?
Well, by dropping into the moment,
mm-hmm.
and dropping into the body, and connecting with the things that are around you in the moment, and then just kind of enjoying them, being with everything, not trying to change anything or do anything. But so in a way, you're shifting out of the left brain into the right brain and into the body and the heart and the field awareness, and noticing the love and the presence in things.
Mm.
It's a gradual process. Then you say, well, how do I love to feel? What's my preferred state now that I'm here? What do I want to feel like right now? It's my choice. And then you remember a time when you felt that way. Maybe you were playing with a baby or a puppy or laughing or just feeling really clear and sincere or cheerful even. You know, there are a lot of states that will kind of precipitate you into your home frequency. So you just pick one, you know, and then you start to feel, all right, I feel cheerful. You know, or okay, I feel mildly curious even, you know. And then this will start to run the higher frequency or the soul's vibration or the openness through you.
And that's what magnetizes or creates the affinity with other people of like souls,
That's right. It's resonance. And they come out of that field, and you come out of their field. The fields match, and you suddenly find each other. And So that's what I'm feeling now is as more people sort of really stabilize their home frequency and realize they're not at the effect of the outer world, because there is no outer world. You know, it's your choice as to how you want your field to vibrate.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you really stabilize that in your body and get your body programmed so that it thinks this is normal,
mm-hmm.
you know, not the old sacrificial reality, but this new one.
I like that, the old sacrificial reality. Woo!
It is. It's like self-sacrifice, self-postponement. Well, okay, well, maybe later I'll get to be myself.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, but mm-hmm. no, it doesn't work to sacrifice yourself anymore.
So there's kind of a rising flow of self-realization going all over the world, isn't there?
Yeah, soul realization as
mm-hmm.
the self.
Mm.
You know.
Do you think it's happening all over the world evenly?
Yes. Well, it depends how... Certain areas, there are heavy-duty religious beliefs or fears or poverty or things that have locked in a certain kind of consciousness, and those places may be a little thicker or slower to change. But still, the energy is happening everywhere equally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so either it makes us very uncomfortable in the beginning as it starts to free up the negative limiting patterns.
Well, I think it's really difficult for people to have to drop their identity as it's been created in that left brain world, eh?
That's right.
Which is, I think, required, don't you?
It's totally coming up for people now as one of the things that we need to let go of that's slowing down the flow is too much identity.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds really weird. But it's like...
No, but I agree, because we get so attached to our identity, and it isn't really who our soul is. And
we're telling this story, our story over and over, and reciting this litany of why we are the way we are, and, well, I had this happen to me in childhood, so I can't be like this now, or whatever. And it's like, it gets tiring. You know, even to me, when I hear myself tell mine, I'm like, oh, God, I'm so bored with this. Like, I don't want to be just that anymore.
Well, and when we started all of that, because that was a kind of a big wave some years ago, there was a goal in mind, wasn't there? The goal was freeing oneself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think all you have to do is just kind of let go of holding on to things, clutching, you know, and the identification with certain things is a holding,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you attach attention to things. So when you undo the attention, you unplug, you know, the ideas can still be there. They can float with you, around you, in the field, but mm-hmm. you don't have to own them.
Yeah, that's right. Or you don't have to make them who you are. I mean,
no, you don't have to possess them.
Right, right.
Let them have their own life. And if, you know, then you could have any sort of ideas as part of your identity.
Well, so I'm going to jump around to be playful here, because there's so much going on. It's kind of fun and crazy, like a big exhibition mm-hmm. at times. What do you think is happening with the family in the middle of all this? Is the family still breaking apart, or what do you think, or how do you perceive it is a good way to put it?
Well, I feel like there's, you know, the family itself as an entity is going through the same process of change and transition that individuals are, and that cultures are, and governments are, and countries are, where the subconscious blocks and fears are no longer able to be stored in the underneath the surface, because there's no real level that is that low of a vibration anymore. So all this stuff is coming up to the surface, and that has to do with abuse.
Right.
And, you know...
Which was the standard way of living, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it was. I think it's just never been really talked about, but I think it's been accepted unconsciously and, you know, I can't even think of the right word. Anyway.
Well, it was because of survival, wasn't it? It's like we were all into survival as the more primitive species.
Well, it's resignation.
Yeah,
okay, I guess this is the way it is. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think that all the ideas about the sacrificial family, you know, growing up in a situation that suppressed your soul, that you couldn't be yourself.
Yeah.
Because if you did, your parents would punish you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you wouldn't fit in. And all of that is surfacing now. And I think that we've gotten to a point where we understood that there were conditions in the family in the early childhood that caused us to have certain behaviors now because we unconsciously, you know, locked those down.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're starting to see, oh, I don't have to be that. That was somebody else's ideas.
Right.
Now, how do you free that out of your body?
Mm-hmm. And how do you?
Well, you have to stop plugging into it and thinking that's your story.
Hmm.
The more you come into the moment and plug into your home frequency and just be in the moment and let something arise out of that frequency, all fresh and new, every time you do that, you stop validating the old story and you validate who you really are. And pretty soon you're out of the old thing is just a vague memory and you're not even sure it was yours.
Yes, but yeah.
That's what happens, is that memory fades, and you go, wait a minute, did that happen to me?
Mm-hmm.
Or was that just somebody else's story that I heard? And so it's really a matter. It's not about processing so much like therapy does. You know, it's not that linear thing. It's about being in the present moment and allowing anything to surface in the moment with you, but then to love it and be with it so that you understand what the message is in it and put love into it. And then it dissolves.
That's
mm-hmm.
wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's very fast. And healing, physical healing can be the same way. You know, emotional and physical healing can happen very fast now.
That's really exciting, isn't it?
I think so.
I keep hearing stories that are about people who are severely ill healing quite fast, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tell me, you've written a book called Dreams for Dummies.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, or let's talk about dreams. I know you're quite an expert, but I'm also just wondering, do a lot of people get information about their soul's journey from their dreams and so on? What is the tie-in between the dreams and our evolution?
Well, I think that we're constantly oscillating in and out through various frequencies, dimensions, you know, if you will, or I call it the dream zones in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And you access different kinds of information or different parts of yourself or different amounts of the great body of knowledge of the world by moving in and out of these focal lengths. It's like on a camera. You're adjusting the lens to look at certain things.
Mm.
You know, and we space out during the day, you know, and go out and access and come back to our bodies, you know.
And we do, too, and we come back sometimes very refreshed, don't we?
Yeah, or we suddenly jerk back, you know, and have that shudder, you know, that you have after you've spaced out for a few minutes.
And miss somebody, the best part of somebody's speech.
Yeah, and so at night you do the same thing. And so I think that all dreams are actually real, and they are indications of what zone you've been in. And in each different frequency, the rules function a little differently, like time becomes much more unified. I mean, there is no past and future.
Hmm.
It's all in the now.
But it's also more plastic, isn't it?
It's very rubbery and plastic, yes. And you can do anything you want and play with ideas. It's the imaginal realm, really. And so often then the soul will move in and bring the next piece of information that we need here in the personality. Will start to bring it in through dreams. Or maybe you'll get it in meditations, but any time that you can get into that softer mind state where the left brain is not controlling everything, then the soul can talk to you.
Hmm.
And so I think all dreams are about your own process of evolution. And you're telling yourself about things you either are starting to pay attention to or that you need to pay attention to.
Are they often clearings as well? Are they effluent of what's been left over?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Are the dreams sometimes a working out on the subconscious level of things that are left over?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, a past life trauma, for instance. You'll often have nightmares about having died or, you know, traumatically until you consciously bring it to the surface and understand, but I'm still here, you know, it's fine. So a lot of it is guidance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it's just working through the residue of the day to finish things off. Sometimes it's emotional processing. Sometimes it's, you know, really accessing the higher mental plane or the spirit, the causal plane, and feeling your life's blueprint, or getting guidance from a higher being where you might hear a voice.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I think dreams are incredibly powerful.
Now tell me this, do you, how would you recommend people deal with, for example, do you teach exercises like having people ask for specific dreams or ask for specific answers?
I think you can, certainly. Yeah, you can be focusing on, especially if you create a magnet, you know, mm-hmm. where you say, I really feel incomplete on this. I really would like to understand this so that I can, you know, have the question and the answer are a polarity. You know, so I would like to complete this in myself. I'd like to understand.
Hmm.
And be thinking about it during the day and then kind of bring it to mind before you go to sleep, and then notice what you come back with in the morning or the first kinds of events or thoughts or situations that happen to you that next day.
So you think the answers come through the process that dream works on, hey?
Mm-hmm. And it could be in the dream or it could be in the waking dream of daily life. You know, it's when you're a little bit absent-minded from the left brain, where the left brain is not controlling everything,
mm-hmm.
then you often have these kind of bleed-throughs, you know, or pop-ins.
So you're kind of saying it's dimensional realms or consciousness realms? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, these are all parts of ourselves.
Hmm.
Different levels of our own awareness.
I like thinking like that. Also, I guess I hadn't been clear about that, and so I'm going to think about it a lot probably now. What do you think about the soul? Now, do you think the soul has a goal or has no goal?
I don't think it has a goal. I don't think it's linear like that at all. Mm-hmm. And I think the soul, really, if you experience it, is the collective consciousness of humanity.
Hmm.
That eventually we all have kind of the same soul. It's a unifying spiritual consciousness that is a kind of a bridging level between our individuality and our total divinity. You know, and it's like a doorway in a way. But so all I feel that the soul is that it holds that vibration and it helps guide us back to it.
Mm.
You know, we are on an adventure of diving down into the deep waters, you know, and then sort of resurfacing again.
So talk more about the adventure of our lives is a creative adventure, isn't it? But it's been sometimes pretty brutal.
Well, I think it has to do with the curiosity that we have about a three-dimensional reality,
mm-hmm.
where consciousness slows down enough that it kind of crystallizes into a grid of time and space, and then in the center of that grid, at these juncture points, a matter forms.
Mm.
It becomes so solid that you have consciousness and energy seeming to hold shapes in time. You know, if you didn't have time, you wouldn't have form, you know.
Well, that's true, yeah.
So it's an experiment to come in and see what it's like to be in this kind of consciousness where things take shapes and disappear and come and go like that.
How did we get started on this?
I have no idea.
Oh, come on, Penny.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's like, when did this world form? Did it all form at the same time, or did we discover it and decide, okay, I'll go there, like go to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to be an astronaut. No, I'll come into Earth, you know.
Well, do you believe that we've lived on different galaxies and so on, or do you think that's part of the illusion?
No, I think that those are vibrations too. They might be, you know, like different planets even. It might not be that you were physically there, but you were etherically there. You were mentally there. You were in a higher dimensional reality that has the Venus vibration to it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a certain kind of consciousness associated with that realm.
So what do you think about past lives? Is it like that? Like just consciousness is associated with different times and space? What do you think about that? I'm being playful. You don't have to have the answer. I just love to look at all these concepts.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I think that we have definitely have past lives, and I think we have parallel lives. In other words, other parts of our soul, or whatever the our soul is, that are alive now. So that we have you know, prongs of existence that come out of the oversoul and take shape in time and space at different times and in different spaces. So you might have past lives that are living in the same space.
That's right. Remember The Education of Oversoul 7? Do you remember that book?
Yeah.
That was wonderful.
And you might have different parallel lives that are alive at the same time, but in different spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they intersect. But I think that we're spread out through the time-space grid continuum or whatever and having all kinds of experiences. But actually, to the soul, it's simultaneous.
Now, do you think that our personality is the same in these different places? Or do you think... Remember in The Education of Oversoul 7, I should mention to people who are listening that don't know that book, but it's by Jane Roberts. And just as Penny is talking about... parts of us, aspects of our consciousness living simultaneously, it just makes drama out of all those different ones. And it's a very interesting story, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's a good introduction to a lot of these kind of concepts.
Yeah, and it's an easy read in a sense, although it puts you through it. But I just wonder, do you think our personality remains the same, or do you think it's so different from the soul? You know what I mean? Just what do you think?
Well, I think that I have found out about a number of my past lives, and they all have a very similar theme. And even I found images of them, and they look like me, you know.
Oh, interesting.
In fact, I'm part of a book about that called The Return of the Revolutionaries.
Oh, I think I've seen that book. You're part of that book? That's pretty exciting.
Well, chapter 6 is on me and my various lives. But, and I have found out about others that aren't in the book, but they're all of a same... sort of motive, and it's almost like the soul is trying to do a particular kind of work, and it does it in bits and pieces. And so I think that there is some similarity.
Well, I have to say that I've done a lot of past life exploration, too, not quite as exotic as yours. I don't think I'm anybody's sixth chapter. but I often I can recognize myself a mile away in them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And partly it's an emotional thing, but I think that ties with the personality, too.
Yes, but what's fascinating is that often the facial architecture and will be very similar from time to time. Now, of course, I'm sure there's evolution, so you probably don't look like you did 1,000 years ago, you know, but the ones that I have found that were all within the last 100 years or so are quite similar. So,
and in that book, if I remember correctly, they've actually got the overlay of people's faces, like
that's right,
JFK and Martin Luther King and various people like that, overlaid with historical figures, right?
Right. And I have a bunch of stuff on my website under the books section. If you go to Return of the Revolutionaries book, there's the whole chapter thing is there, and the pictures are there, and it's
wonderful.
Fascinating.
What's your website?
It's pennypierce.com.
And your Penny is spelled P-E-N-N-E-Y, isn't it?
E-Y, and my last name is E-I.
Okay, good.
So anyway, but it's fascinating. And at the same time, I feel like when you're open, you could draw from the knowledge of all the lives because they are all in the moment with you.
Yeah, so karmic isn't just leftover caca. It's actually some real high existence material, isn't it?
And I once had a dream where I was shown, I was actually introduced to by some beings, one of my parallel lives. And they said, you can handle this now. And it was a young man, kind of an architect, I guess. And then they showed me his past lives. And I went, oh my gosh, he's got his own past lives. But as they showed them to me, I recognized themes in my own sort of subconscious. Like he had died in a fire. And I have had thoughts about that, not really afraid of it, but, you know, it kind of gets my attention. And
those are little pings.
Yeah. You know, and then they showed me that I had stopped drinking in different periods, like it just stopped for several years, because he had an alcoholic problem. And that my stopping actually helped him.
Oh, interesting, because so it's simultaneous.
Yes. So they're sharing between these lives. And it was fascinating. And yet still, you know, the main point of power is right now in this moment from this consciousness that you're in.
Because and that can actually impact all of these
all
simultaneous
of
lives?
Yes. Yes.
Well, the universe is quite a well-packed place full of a lot of different characters, huh? death. I want to talk about death. How we can use this information to make that passing more about living and shifting dimensions, can't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that we're actually going through a death process now while we're still alive.
Hmm.
You know, in other words, we're going through a lot of the same things that you would go through when you die, like giving up your attachments to, you know, your car, your identity, and becoming more transparent and allowing yourself to have memory come back, and a lot of things, you know, the stages you go through by becoming more transparent.
Mm-hmm. And more fluid regarding the changing dynamics of systems. You have to let go of all kinds of things we cling
totally,
to.
Totally, yeah. Hmm. And as you do that, and we're still here in the body, you're not actually dying, mm-hmm. then I think that it becomes easier to almost oscillate in and out of form. Like you start to become aware that I'm here, I'm not here, I'm here, I'm not here, and mm-hmm. a whole bunch of you is already in the other world that stayed there. You know, the rest of you is all above the line, you know, it's still out there.
Mm-hmm.
And just like we visit it during dreams, but it's always there.
Hmm.
So it's in some ways we're already dead. A lot of part of us is already out there. So the actual death process, I think, will be totally re-envisioned or re-experienced as something that is just a shifting.
New system.
Yeah, that it won't be like this idea that it's the end.
Right.
It'll just be like a reconnection to, you know, the big consciousness, and you remember everything, and you go, oh, wow, that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see the life as, you know, a project that you did, you know, or something.
Do we then reconnect with all, we don't reconnect with all these other aspects of ourself at that point,
sure.
Do we?
They're all in you.
Mm-hmm. So we begin to see the whole picture. All right, do you see spirits? Do you see beings from the other side a lot?
Only in my dreams, really.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much in waking reality.
Okay, transformation. So what you're recommending being in the now, being in the moment as a solution for transformation, aren't you?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
very much so.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to shift out of the left brain into the right brain and then down into the heart and into the body's consciousness, which is really like a non-localized brain.
Mm-hmm.
And then the body consciousness, and when you get in there, then you realize you're a field. The body is a field of particles. And when you get in it and go down into it and then expand, you realize there's no edge, there's no boundary to your body.
Mm.
You are a field of energy, really. And then that goes as far as your attention wants to go.
Hmm.
And you can include as much of the field in your present moment as you want. And you can move in and out of it and create realities through your focus of attention. So,
I'm going to jump around. Can you manifest from that? You know, everybody's running around trying to manifest this mm-hmm. and manifest that.
Yes.
Yeah,
I've been calling it materialization and dematerialization just to differentiate it from that jargon.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that materializing the physical world is a function of attention. It's not about attracting or using willpower. That's an erroneous concept.
Hmm.
Even setting intention is like too much willpower.
Hmm.
So I think that...
Because you're saying get out of the way of the will sort of thing, that the soul has...
Yeah, get the will out of there. But there is such a thing as choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, focus. You have to put your attention on an idea. And then as soon as you can imagine it and have it in the imaginal realm, and then start to just keep watching it. Just keep paying attention to it. Just keep feeling it, and it'll drop down through the levels of the brain. It'll take on substance. It'll flesh out. You'll see it. You'll hear it. You'll tactily feel it. You'll hear, you know, smell it. You know. And then it gets down very close to the reptile brain. And as soon as that happens, the body can sense it, and it thinks it's real, and then it becomes real.
Hmm.
So it's not a matter of striving or trying. It's a matter of soft, happy attention on an idea, playing with it, knowing that the idea is being made out of the collective consciousness.
Well, I keep thinking what you're saying, another way of saying it is that you're saying the idea becomes a being in you, and then it emanates from you.
Sure, it shapes itself out of the living, unified field. And the field is all more than happy to do that. It loves to do that. That's part of the playfulness of being here in this world, is letting things come into three-dimensional experience and vibration and then back out again. So
we need to be teaching this in kindergarten, Penny.
Oh, I know. But so materialization is very playful, and it's very cooperative.
Hmm.
So as long as you don't, you know, negate the process by saying, oh, but I never get what I want, or, you know, those things, then things will come to you. And these days, because everything's happening more and more in the present moment, that process of materialization happens very fast. And dematerialization, too. Just take your attention out of certain things. Unplug. Let it become boring and sort of ghost-like, and it dissolves back into the unified field.
Hmm.
And that's a very useful skill.
So it's kind of interesting. I'm thinking about things like sustainability and so on, and I go, well, what you're speaking about has a much greater impact and no longer sits in any of those little chapters or any of those little file folders, does it?
Right. Yeah, no, and if a lot of people could do this together and just place attention on something like sustainability, it would gain a great traction and start to become a living reality for the culture.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's happening?
Slowly.
Mm-hmm. I still believe we should teach the children. Do you ever work with children, Penny?
I have, yes. I've done readings for kids.
Oh, good.
And some of them are so amazing. One little boy asked me, well, am I ever going to be a good break dancer? And then he said, and why is there war? Just wonderful.
And how did you answer that?
Oh, I don't remember. You know, what it was like, you know, they're just so fresh. And I don't know. It's just nice to be able to introduce certain ideas about the nature of reality for them, and even about who they are, so that they hold those ideas at a young age instead of picking up the self-sacrificial ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, this whole thing about superheroes, too, I get frustrated, except that I see that because it teaches so much about energy, there is a bit of a leg up there with the kids, isn't there?
Yes, and I think that we are in a process of you know, as you move into intuition and an awareness of energy, that there are things that are going to become quite normal. Telepathy will probably be one of the first ones.
Yeah, that should be coming up in a big way pretty soon, hey?
Very soon, yeah.
Yeah.
Telepathy and maybe even something like, you know, kinesthetic movement or psychometry or something like that, where the mind can start moving objects or shifting things. And I think we'll start to see more of that sort of phenomena that before no one thought was possible. It was just weird and unnatural.
Or just very few people could do it, right?
Yes. To be, you know, more like coming into ordinary reality. So, you know, as we become more telepathic, maybe it'll stop everybody texting so much.
Well, I keep saying to everybody, you know what? These cell phones are training wheels for ourselves to be able to be empathic and intuitive.
Yeah. But then, you know, we have to give those up. You know, it's like addictions.
Yeah. But I think that's okay. What I mean is I think it is training wheels. I think
we have
to give them up. My grandson, who I call my grandest one, is only six. I'm going to bring him up here for the summer right after this discussion. But we went to an energy experience with reconnection, you know, the reconnective energy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to do it right after that.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and I go, well, he's very big into Star Wars, for example, right? But I just think they're so... So I wondered if you could say anything about that, because I know when kids are under such stress, and we talked about the story that we grow up with and all that, can't they use those skills to actually extricate themselves from those beliefs and reactions when they're very young?
I think they need validation, conscious validation from either other adults who know this, and or each other, which is why there's so much group stuff going on with kids today.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're really young, I think they feel a bit isolated when they are born into this system.
You mean like being able to do energy and stuff?
Well, just even being able to know why they are psychic or why they know things, or, you know, when it doesn't fit in with their parents' belief systems or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of these new kids are very frustrated.
Yeah.
In many ways. But
so how can we address that? Because I think that they're a wave of evolution that somehow those of us on the outside of raising little kids should probably be able to help, hey?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, a lot of conversation, mm-hmm. a lot of working with teachers or the creation of experimental schools, maybe summer camps or something where, you know, the school systems are still so kind of controlled by religious factions and superstitions of you don't want to, you know, interfere with a child's mind or whatever that is. I think maybe summer camps or, you know, other, like, experiences for kids.
Mm-hmm.
If they get a real experience, they're not going to forget that.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to be primed with some of that so that those are punctuation marks that they can remember.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
because you and I know, I think when you're little, where you touch the soul, it is something that will stay in your story. Won't
yes,
it?
Those are real moments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even things like Harry Potter really have been helpful.
Yeah.
In introducing the mythologies. And, of course, the superheroes are kind of the idea that yes, we all do have special abilities.
Mm-hmm.
We all do have these potentials.
And that thing that everything is energy is common knowledge for these little kids.
Oh yeah.
And it took a while for my generation anyway.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I had a little boy come up to me after one of my book signings, but who's about 9, with his mother, and his mother said, "Well, my son wants to talk to you." And he said, "I understand everything you're saying," but he said, "A lot of adults don't, do they?" And I said, "No, I think not."
But it's really important because they can be very angry and frustrated, the kids that are coming in, the new kids. Say,
yeah.
Yeah. How? So outside of camps, because I don't even know where they exist, or I would rush my grandson to one, although he's coming to Grammys. That's a camp in itself, right?
Uh-huh.
So do you have suggestions for people who are listening and how to deal with kids?
With kids?
Mm-hmm. Or schools or the
I don't know names of schools or camps or anything, and if they don't exist, maybe some people will create them, mm-hmm. you know. Like, for instance, I know they have these, Dean Kamen, the inventor, they have camps for kids to invent things.
Oh, wow, really?
And they have teams that compete against each other, and they make stuff. And so they're working together in their group mind to make things.
Hmm.
And they're at camp, and they're, you know, they're really getting their creativity juiced up, which
That's
is
exciting.
Great.
That's exciting. I found also that the history of improv, that it really started, improvisational theater, started with inner city kids in Chicago.
Mm.
To get mm-hmm. them out of their self-destructive means. So that's not the same as energy, but it is in a way.
Oh, it is, because it's creativity and mm-hmm. it's performance. It's running energy through you, your own authentic energy, like poetry slams and things like that. They're great.
Isn't that wonderful? And it's so fun and entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also something in Eastern BC, British Columbia, where they do sounds. So they take on these kids that are really lost, teenagers, and they use toning and sounds and so on. They sing for an hour a day. Apparently they turn these kids around like nobody's business, and they'll take them on tours to India and all kinds of places.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine, a young woman, does, has a rock and roll band, but in the summer she has a camp for young girls to teach them to write songs.
Oh, wow.
And then they perform them, and they play them with their band. And they do the same thing out on the Aboriginal. She's Australian, and they do the same thing out in the Aboriginal communities.
Wow.
And have made some CDs for these kids out of their own songs.
Hmm.
So they feel really great, you know, and like they can do things.
So it's really true about, like, touching the soul is what all of this is about, isn't
it? Yeah.
Oh, how exciting. So tell us more about, you know, we've got a few minutes left, and I want you to tell us more about where you are. What are you doing? Are you doing workshops? Are you taking a hiatus or sabbatical?
You know, the first part of the year, I think up through April, I just felt very introverted and didn't want to go out. I think the energy was very intense. I stayed home, and now things are livening up. So I'll be in Baltimore the second half of July for 2 weeks doing a whole variety of programs.
Oh, good.
And the flyer is on my website, on the homepage of the website. And then in October, I'll be at Kripalu Institute, which is in Western Massachusetts, and doing a frequency training.
Oh, great.
And then up in Boston area and maybe Maine and possibly even New Jersey, but somewhere all around that area.
Oh, this is exciting.
Doing a variety of things.
Well, it's really time, too. And the shift, what do you think about the shift? Do you feel like it's going to happen? Do you think enough people are involved?
Well, I think it is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think everybody's involved, really. But not necessarily consciously yet.
There are those who say it won't happen if not enough people, you know, if we don't get to
I don't think you can stop the energy.
Good.
You can't. That's way bigger than us.
Good. I'm so glad because I'm so aware of the downloads that are coming in from the universe as well.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that either what will happen is a lot of people will really jump forward into, you know, this permanent higher consciousness, and other people will feel too afraid to do it, or they'll be too rooted in the old way to think, to be able to understand how it's working. And they may die. You know, they may just choose to, it's too complicated, it's too much, I can't handle it, I think I'll just go out, rest, and then come back in again. And I think there'll be a kind of a bifurcation of the planet at a certain point. I don't know when, but where the people who leave will reincarnate, but they'll come onto a planet that they're familiar with, that works the way they're used to it working, whereas the other people will kind of have a parallel world where the planet's at, there's an Earth at a higher vibration that is the one they collectively remember.
And some of us have chosen to come here just to be here for this.
Oh, sure, for, you know, to go through the whole process with the Earth.
Yeah.
A lot of us.
Yeah. And you are one of those, eh?
I feel like it. Yeah, I feel like I've been living all my lives just to go through this. And it's very exciting.
It is very exciting. It's really horrible for some people, but it's also really invigorating in a lot of ways. I think the whole news media thing is about to tilt, don't you? There's a lot of people complaining about that as well.
Well, I have a feeling there's going to be some sort of revolution in our country. Kind of the rebellions, but I think it's, you know, it's the mad as hell not going to take this anymore thing. And it's just going to get like a stranglehold from politics onto every good thing in the country, everything for that people need, the human stuff is just going to be squashed until people just like rise up. And I didn't think that this would happen before, but I have a feeling now that there's going to be some backlash, because it's almost like the only way that the old thing can be broken.
Well, you look at the Middle East, and there's, I know a number of people who are saying, why aren't we in the streets? You know.
Well, it may not have just pushed people to the edge far enough yet.
I think there's a kind of a numbness amongst us in this country. I'm actually Canadian, and I keep saying, this is a revolutionary country. Why aren't we yelling and screaming?
Well, I think it's because of television.
Mm-hmm. And the
hypnosis.
Food, the denatured food, I think.
Yeah, it's probably fast food, you know, and yeah. And being hypnotized into the distractions of, you know, drinking and the things that we use to let off steam in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix. Sorry, Netflix. I have Netflix, but, you know, but it is like, you know, it's a great distraction.
It's a soporific community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you look at people who's, so many people, their eyes are dull and they feel like it's hopeless. So they'll say it's, oh, that's just the way it is. And, I think that's changing. There's a lot more people going, okay, we're going to make a difference here. Mm-hmm. We've got to make a change. So I think it's rising, you know.
Well, I think it's encouraging that a lot of people who felt like misfits most of their lives, and I just had this realization, too, that you almost have to be a misfit and stand out from the rest of society in order to become a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, no one can see you.
Right. If you belong. I know I've always been in angst about not quite belonging, and now I'm going, thank heaven, because as soon as you belong, it's kind of soporific, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's safe thinking this, being that.
So I think it's up for people partly now to become thought leaders. You know, there's not just a few leaders. It's everybody's going to be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's leadership at the, you know, particle level,
if
you want to call it that, where that sense of individual soul consciousness arises out of each person. Each person is innovative and creative and original in each moment and talks about it and shares and then co-creates with others.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that we will have this convening now of people who are on similar wavelengths. So the people who are vibrating in one level will start to show up in each other's fields.
So what's shifting radically, I see it as you're talking, is the whole stardom thing. Here's a star and the rest
celebrity,
of us.
Celebrity, yeah.
Yeah, instead of that, everyone has to be the celebrity of their own.
Well, and you see it happening. Everybody wants to be on the reality TV shows and you know, they're willing to do almost anything to get attention.
Yeah. But I think there's another level, which is what you've been talking about, which is to touch their truth and present that. That's the big thing. So the reality one may or may not be touching that. But
well, it's the first step toward a sense of self.
Mm-hmm. And YouTube's? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Everybody's publishing their own books. Everybody's making their own videos. It's like, you know, we're going to get swamped so much in this that it'll be boring after a little while.
And sometimes it's already that way.
Yeah.
But like everything else, there's a quality, there's a level that gets to the top, the cream
that's
part.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
but
right.
It's not going to be so much of the stardom thing, and I think that's great.
No, I don't think so either. And I think
and community consciousness, I believe, is coming out of this as well.
Well, that's part of the convening. It's first teams, colleagues, friendships, working teams that come together to do projects that then move into, you know, connection with other teams or even internationally.
Consciousness so bees.
There's a weaving.
Yeah.
Occurring, you know, and I think that's good. It's cross-pollination. It's going to really create a lot of innovation.
And one thing about the Internet is it's brought us eye to eye with people all over the world
mm-hmm.
by choice, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So we're not so isolated in countries. Countries
right.
aren't going to work anymore, are they?
I don't know. I think they might because I think that we'll still be individuals. And countries are individuals. There are certain kinds of consciousness. And I don't see why they wouldn't stay unique.
Well, you use the word convene, so maybe we would convene under different power structure or empower structure.
Well, you know, diversity is a great thing.
Mm-hmm,
it's not
it
a dangerous thing.
No, I know.
It's a creative thing. And so we need it, you know. We need all the different points of view. So I would think that, you know, we might share heart, but we can all be individually unique.
I think
we share that core,
yeah.
But the form of things can be wonderfully diverse.
It's an exciting time. So we have to close, Penny. Would you give everybody your website again so
sure.
that they can find out what's going on?
There are actually two. There's one, thefrequencybook.com.
Okay.
So if people want to know about the material in that book, there's a whole website for it, mm-hmm. thefrequencybook.com. And then mine is just pennypierce.com. And there's a lot of material on there, and people can sign up for private readings with me, which I'm still doing.
Good.
And the calendar has all the stuff, and there's a newsletter. So.
Well, I'm very, very pleased. I honor the fact that you had time to come on to the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Always fun talking to you.
And to you. Thank you so much, Penny.
Okay.
Be well. Well, that was Penny Pierce giving us quite an overview of what's going on during this crazy time of the shift. Big changes. Get in touch with your real self. Next week's guest is Galexis. We're very excited to be talking to Galexis again. Galexis is a coalescence of beings of consciousness coming through Ginger Mitreau and is a relatively frequent guest on Paradigm Shifters. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you very much for listening. And if you'd like to give me feedback on the shows or suggest another guest, or if you'd like a session with me and my guides and angels, it's Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com. Many blessings. Good night.